Had to find my clicker. It went away from me. We're glad to have everybody present this morning, and hopefully this lesson that we're going to study, even though it may be a little bit different and sound a little odd, hopefully it's going to be helpful to every one of us to understand a little bit more about God's will and His will toward us. Today we're talking about a subject about the devil. If I were the devil's preacher, now that sounds a little bit funny, doesn't it? But I want to talk about that today, and the scripture that was read from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, talks about Satan and some things about him, and we're going to take a little bit of time right on the very beginning to kind of introduce the lesson by talking about and explaining some of the things about Satan before we get into the main part of the lesson. In the 2 Corinthians letter that was read just a moment ago, and I appreciate that reading, I'm going to go back and refer to it again so it will be fresh on our mind as we get into our lesson. In the 11th chapter, 2 Corinthians, beginning at 13th verse, it says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." Now, does that sound like the devil to you? Normally, you know, we think about the devil as being some horrible-looking person with a long tail and a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head and all that kind of thing. But that's not the way Satan is. Moving down to verse 14. "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So we want to talk about then this morning the idea of Satan and how Satan transforms himself to be something that, or to seem a way that he is really not. I hope that this is where you can read it on the board all right. I don't ever look around to see. I assume that what I'm seeing on the screen here is behind me on the board, so if something happens it's not, let me know. The apostles of Christ plainly taught that Satan is able to transform himself into an angel of light. Now, we know Satan is not an angel of light. Satan is the opposite of an angel of light, but he transforms himself to act as though, or to seem as though, this is what he is. And we'll see as we're going into our lesson that he's good in the disguises that he uses to make himself look one way when he's another. Now, the apostles also taught very plainly that he has ministers, and that these ministers are able to do the same thing, to transform themselves into angels of light or as angels of light. And their desire is to destroy the Word of God, to destroy those things that are righteous, and to accomplish the will of their master, which is Satan himself. And so this is what their ambition is to do. He has no hesitancy in appearing in a false guise. It doesn't matter to him. He'll deceive you into thinking he's something that he's not, that he's really not. Neither is it strange that those doing Satan's work appear as ministers of righteousness. So if you think about it, it's not really strange. I know back a few years ago we were talking about a gentleman who was a preacher and was teaching some things that was not necessarily right. And we're talking about that, and somebody said he couldn't preach things that are wrong because he's too good a person. I said, think for just a moment with me. Who would you rather have if you were Satan trying to push your work? Somebody that acted like Satan himself, or somebody that looked like an angel of light? And of course, this is what we know, that people who are interested in the truth, they're not going to follow somebody that acts like the devil. They're going to follow somebody that acts like God, or acts like his ministers, or his angels, or his workers. And so this is what Satan does. He and his ministers transform themselves into angels of light. Not only does Satan have ministers, but his ministers also have churches in which to preach and to deceive people. So Satan has synagogues, as we'll notice a little bit later on, as one of the passages says, that for his ministers to work in. So they have churches to work out of. And so today, there are Satan's ministers that are standing from the pulpit just as I'm standing today, and they're proclaiming Satan's doctrine while I'm trying my best to proclaim the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It is evident from what our Lord said to the church at Philadelphia that this is true. He charged some of the Jews with being of the synagogue of Satan in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 9. And then again, to the church at Smyrna in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 9, he accused them of the same thing, of being of the synagogue of Satan. So Satan has synagogues then in which his ministers may work. Satan will use his ministers in his synagogues to gain his desire and his purpose. And his desire is to destroy those things that are righteous, to destroy those things that belong to God, and to fulfill his promises, to fulfill his desires instead of God's. And he'll do everything that he can to try to keep us from being righteous, and wants us to be ministers of his, or be servants of his. He speaks, or he seeks to seek advantage or to get advantage of God's people in whatever way he can. He will use his devices unsparingly to deceive the nations, as it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, that he will deceive everybody. It goes on so far as to say even the very elect, if it's possible that he would deceive even the very elect. And we know that this is true because he tried to deceive the Son of God, and who would be more the elect than Jesus Christ himself. In Matthew chapter 4, you remember how that Jesus was tempted and Satan came to him and told him that he would give him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them if he'd just fall down and worship him. And Jesus said, it's written that man shall worship the Lord their God, and him only shall they serve. And so he will try to deceive even the very Son of God. So I know if Satan tried to deceive the Son of God, then he's not going to hesitate to try to deceive you. He's not going to hesitate to try to deceive me. He's going to do everything that he can, just like he did with Jesus. He came, he knew that Jesus was hungry, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, then make these stones into bread. And so Jesus knew that, or he knew that Jesus was hungry, and this was the way that he could tempt him more than anything else. And so if you have a weakness, then watch out, because Satan's going to be trying to work on that weakness that you have. Now, one thing is for sure, one thing we need to see today in this lesson, is that God and Satan are enemies. They're not friends, they're enemies. And we need to realize that Satan is not our friend, but Satan is our enemy. If he's the enemy of God, if we're trying to serve God, then he's our enemy too. But I think where the problem comes in, that we don't look upon Satan like God did, and we don't look upon him as being our enemy, and sometimes we treat him as a friend, and that gives him an advantage over us to tempt us in places where we would not otherwise be tempted. Sin had its origin not on the earth, as we would think, but sin had its origin really in heaven. You know, Jesus talks about that. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 18, Jesus declared that, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And so where did it start? It started in heaven. And Jesus said, I saw it fall from heaven. So it didn't start on earth. Now we think about sin starting, you know, with Adam and Eve and the wrong that they did. But this started actually before that. It started in heaven. And then Jesus said, I saw Satan fall as lightning from heaven. In the qualifications of elders that Paul said, he said elders must not be a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6. Now, the only logical explanation of this passage would be like this. One selected as an elder must not be a novice. Now, the word novice means new, somebody that's inexperienced, somebody maybe that's young. And so he's not to be a novice lest he fall through pride as the devil fell. Being lifted up with pride, hence Satan fell from heaven, and now is roaming the earth seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And so we're not to fall from pride as Satan did, and fall from heaven, fall from his steadfastness. His end, talking about Satan and his ministers, his end will be to be cast into the lake of fire that burns with brimstone, or burns with fire and brimstone, in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. And so the devil and his angels, ever how many that'll be, and it could be some of us, you know, if we don't listen to what the Bible says, if we're not careful, Satan's going to try to get us to be there with him too, in that place that burns with fire and brimstone. And we have to watch day by day. It's a battle. The Bible describes it as a battle, and we must make the choice ourselves as to whether we do right or whether we do wrong. Now, let me suggest to you right on the start that right is on the side of God. Right is not on the side of the devil. The devil's side is the wrong side. It's not the right side. It's the sinful side. But right is on the side of God. His word is the divine standard by which men
are to live. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove that what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We're to be transformed. We're to be changed. We're not to be like the world. As a minister of God, then my loyalty to Him requires faithfulness both to Him and to His Word. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it talks about how that though we are an angel from heaven, preach another gospel unto you than that which we preached unto you, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if anyone preach unto you another gospel which you've not received, let him be accursed. And Paul said in Romans 1 and verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, he says, who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we know then that God's word, we're to be loyal to that, and we're to be loyal to Him. And in being loyal to Him, we must honor Him and His word. On the other hand, if I were the devil's preacher, then my loyalty would be to him and would be required to preach his doctrine and what he would want me to preach instead of that which God would have me to preach. So now we're getting to the main part of our lesson today. There are many preachers serving the purpose of Satan effectually, blinding the eyes of many who are spiritually minded people. And there are a lot standing today preaching Satan's doctrine that's blinding the minds of spiritually minded people and leading them down the road that leads to destruction, and they don't even realize it because Satan has transformed himself to cause them to believe that he's an angel of light. You know, we'll go back to Acts chapter 8 when Philip went down into Samaria and Simon had been there practicing sorcery, and these people thought that he was some great spirit from God because he had practiced sorcery. He had tricked them. Well, this is the way Satan does. He tricks people into thinking that they're following the right thing when they're not. Things I would preach if I was the devil's preacher. Now think about this with me this morning. First of all, let us remember that the devil is the father of lies. He don't mind lying to you. He'll lie to you in a moment. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, he says, you are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so this is who we're dealing with. We're dealing with Satan, who does not hesitate to lie to you. He'll lie to you in a minute. And we can see that going back to Genesis chapter 3. When he went before Eve and he said, did the Lord say to you that you couldn't eat of every tree of the garden? She said, we can eat of all the trees except one, but he told us we're not to eat of it. If we do, then we'll die. We're not even to touch it. And Satan said, why, you will not die. God knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, you're going to be like him. You'll be wise, knowing good from evil. He don't want you to eat of that tree. That's what Satan does. He lies like that and builds a false picture to try to get people to sin. Well, what did Eve do? She listened to Satan, and she ate of the fruit and gave to her husband, and he ate also, and they were all condemned because of this. And so Satan will do the same thing to you that he did to Eve. He'll do the same thing to me that he did to Eve and Adam. He will change the scripture just enough to suit his own desires, but not enough to make you think that he's changed it. Just he used one little word there with Eve that changed the whole thing. That word was not. One little three-letter word, and yet it changed the whole thing and caused a lot of problems. And so Satan will do the very same thing with you that he did with Eve. He speaks not the truth and seeks to ensnare all that love the things that are right. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. Moreover, he must be well thought of by outsiders. This is talking about an elder, so that he may not fall in disgrace into a snare of the devil. And so we're not to fall with the devil into disgrace. We're not to be fooled by him. We're to listen to what the Bible says, and we'll get into more of that as we get into our lesson later on. Now, if I were the devil's preacher, then one thing I would try to do was to cheapen the Bible in the minds of people. If I could some way cause people to think that the Bible is not inspired, that this is the word of man, that it's not the word of God, that this is something that was written far later than what it claims to be, if I could cheapen that Bible in some way, then I would cause people to follow my master, which would be Satan, instead of God. Destroy men's faith in the Bible as God's word, and you destroy their faith in God. Now, if not, why not? If you don't have faith in the Bible, which is his word, then how in the world could you have faith in him? And so if I could some way destroy the Bible and man's faith in the Bible, then I could destroy their faith in God and would have them on the side of the devil instead of on the side of God. A most effective way to do this is to tell people that it makes no difference whether you obey the Bible or not. As long as you're honest and sincere in what you're doing, it doesn't really matter if you obey it or if you do not obey it. I know this is what was written and it claims to be the Word of God, but is it really the Word of God? You know, it's got a lot of contradictions in there and a lot of things that is error, a lot of people would say, and so they would try to cheapen the Bible in this way. Another way, if I was the devil's preacher, I would preach universal salvation. Now, what do we mean by universal salvation? I would tell people that we all are children of God by creation, and that a sincere God loves his children, and in spite of all the warnings in the will of God about the things that how people suffer because of it and are lost because of it, I would say at the last God would relent and take them all home to heaven. And go back to Jonah when he was sent to Nineveh. And he went to preach to Nineveh and the people repented. And what did God do? God relented and did not bring this destruction upon them. And so I'd say, now since God did that then today if we do what things that are wrong, then God is lately or at the end, he's going to relent and take everybody home. He's not going to destroy. A loving God would not destroy people, you know. That's one of the favorite things that a lot of people like to say. Of course, I would not say anything about the destruction to come on the evil because they did not obey God's teaching. And there's many passages in the Bible that show that to be true. But I'd shun those passages if I was the devil's preacher, and I'd not preach those. If I preach universal salvation, I might be able to keep some people from obeying the commandments of God and thus make certain of gaining recruits for my master, Satan. And if I was the devil's preacher, that's what I'd be anxious in doing, is gaining recruits or gaining people for him instead of for God. Now, if I were the devil's preacher, then I would preach that one church is just as good as another. Now, what better way to cause people to keep from obeying the gospel of Christ? This would tend to cheapen the church that Jesus built. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we can be saved except that of Jesus Christ. But I'd not tell people that. I'd try to cheapen the Bible and would show how that it has that this would tend to cheapen the church that Jesus Christ built. If it's just as no better than the rest, one just as good as another, one built by me would be just as good as one that was built by Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, then you're not believing God's teaching, but you're believing the teaching of Satan. I would then be able to keep many people out of the New Testament church, and the New Testament church is the only one that's any good. It's the one that Jesus built. But if I could keep people out of the New Testament church then and convince them that another was just as good, then I'd have more recruits. I'd have more people for my master, Satan, instead of God. Another thing I would do, I would argue that baptism is unnecessary. You know, what good is baptism? You just go into the water, a dry center, and you come out a wet one. How many times have you heard people say that? That baptism is no good. That you're just as well to be baptized in buttermilk as in water. That it's no good. Why would you want to be baptized? What good was that? What power is there in the water? All these kind of things. So I would argue that baptism is unnecessary. I would teach that sprinkling is just as good as baptism. One baptism is just as good as another. What difference does it make? You're baptized. It's the symbol that you go through anyway. I would gain the advantage for Satan if I could get people to submit to unscriptural practices for the things commanded by God. So if we can substitute the unscriptural for that which is scriptural, then we're on Satan's side and we're not on God's side. If I was the devil's preacher, then I would teach that it is impossible for one of God's children to act so as to be finally lost in hell. What is this? Well, once you're saved from your sins, it doesn't matter what you do. Nothing from murder to fornication will keep you from entering into heaven. Now, this sounds good to people, doesn't it? And so if I was the devil's preacher, then this is what I would be teaching you. That this, that it's impossible for one to so sin as to be lost. If I could get someone of his children to risk, talking about God's children, to risk a little sinning in the thought that it made no difference in their eternal destiny, I would gain souls for my master, the devil. And how many people have been convinced of this today, that it doesn't really matter? A little sinning, it doesn't matter. It's not going to matter anyway. And so just live like you want to. It doesn't really matter. If I could lead them to believe that this false doctrine, I would keep them from respecting the commands or the commandments of God. And this is what we're taught to respect the Word of God. Like I said in the very beginning, if I'm God's minister, then I am to respect Him and His Word. And so if I could keep people from respecting God and His commandments, then I'd have more that was following after my master, the devil. Now, if I were the devil's preacher, then I'd tell members of the church that just attend services whenever you want to, whenever you feel like it. It doesn't really matter anyway. It's not the church that saves you. You know, it's your actions that save you. And so what difference does it matter that you don't have to attend just whenever you want to, whenever you feel like it? Of course, I would never mention Hebrews 10:25 that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And other similar passages that teach faithfulness. Otherwise, some might be encouraged to faithfulness instead of unfaithfulness, and I'd lose some of those for my master, the devil, if that's who I was working for. I would tell them that their work was more important than the worship. You know, you've got to have a job. You know, the Bible says if you don't take care of your own, you've denied the faith, you're worse than the infidel, so your work is more important than worship. So just don't worry about worshiping God. Just go on with the work or whatever else it needs to do. I would tell them that their social life is more important than the worship. You know, you got to have a little social life, and so you work hard, your job, you've got 6 days a week that you work, and so on Sunday is the only day you have off, so the Lord's not going to care if you socialize on Sunday instead of worshiping Him. He understands. I remember back years ago, my dad kind of used that type of logic. My dad was baptized the year before I was, but he used to say he worked all the week hard. He didn't think that God would hold against him to go fishing on Sunday. And so he'd go fishing on Sunday because that's the only day he had to do that. Well, that's devil's teaching. That's the devil leading in that direction. And there's a lot of people maybe that feel the same way. I would say that their sleep was more important than worship. It would be better to sleep in on Sunday morning rather than to come and to worship God with His people. That it would be better to entertain family or friends on Sunday instead of worshiping the Lord who died for us. And we could go on and on with things like this. And this is what Satan wants us to think. He don't want us to be faithful unto God, but he wants us to be unfaithful to Him. I would encourage people never to sacrifice their desires of the flesh. You know, these desires of the flesh are the things that we're confronted with day by day. I would argue that God made man, and that in making man, He also made the desires of the flesh, that this is natural to man. And so God doesn't hold us accountable for letting these desires take over in our life. So I would tell people to dance and drink and gamble and even divorce your companion if you want to. It doesn't really matter anyway. Because These sins God understands because these were put in man when he was created. The very idea of some gospel preacher telling people that it's wrong to do these things like this. Surely God understands, since he made man and made these desires in man, that it's going to be a part of man. So who would tell them that it was wrong? I would point out that people should not be scared with such stories as are in the Bible of people being lost because they practice such things as this. I would preach, but I would leave people alone. And that's one of the first things I was told when I started preaching back some 60 years ago. I said, just preach the gospel and leave everybody alone. How do you do that? You can't preach the gospel and leave everybody alone. If you preach the gospel, you're going to convict those that are sinners that have never obeyed the gospel, and those that are living in sin. If you preach the gospel, you're going to convict them. But what people are saying is, just preach the gospel and let everybody feel good. Don't make them feel bad. Don't make them feel like that they're doing something that's wrong. But let them be happy and go on through life thinking that they're happy regardless of whether they're going to be lost or whether they're going to be saved. This is the devil's teaching. This is what he wants us to do. I would resent preachers who reprove, rebuke, and exhort to godliness if I was the devil's preacher. And this is many things that we see day by day. I would urge procrastination. Tell the people there's plenty of time yet to obey the gospel of Christ. Or if you've already obeyed the gospel, there's plenty of time to start living the Christian life like you should, up to Bible standards, the way that the Bible shows. If they have already obeyed the gospel, then just don't be faithful. Just live the way you want to. I would tell them to enjoy yourself now while you're young. Obey the Lord later. You know, there's so many people who says the young people that they have to sow their wild oats and then they finally come to the Lord later. Well, we don't need to be teaching our children that, because that's not so. Suppose they die while they're sowing those wild oats, then what's going to happen? And so, but if I was the devil's preacher, then I'd say, well, you're young, you know, life only comes around one time, so grab hold as it comes around. Obey the Lord later. You have plenty of time. No need to hurry. I would have great success if I could convince people to put off until tomorrow what they needed to do today. And you know, that's what happens in so many cases. We know that we need to obey the gospel. We know we need to do what's right, but we put it off until tomorrow or some later date instead of doing it now. Well, now let's make some applications to our life. Who are the devil's preachers? And we said, if I was the devil's preacher, then this is the way I would preach. Well, who is the devil's preacher? First of all, let it be remembered that Satan does not always slip through the back door. Satan washes right in the front door, comes right in, and sits down right among the most righteous of all, right in the auditorium, walks right through the front door, and nobody recognizes him as Satan. And so we have to be careful, because Satan doesn't come in very obvious as we would think. Often he changes himself into appearance of an angel of light, and his ministers are not those terrible looking creatures with horns and breathing out fire and brimstone and things like this, but they transform themselves into angels of light. They wash right in too. So Satan and his ministers could be sitting right among us, and we would not recognize them unless it would be by their teaching, as we're going to show here in just a minute. They may appear to be very religious and interested in holy things. And we see that so often. I've seen that in so many congregations. And here would be people who would come in, maybe strangers from other places. They seem to be so religious. They seem to be so interested in the truth. And the first thing you know, they start dropping little things here and little things there to interfere, to disrupt the teaching of God's word, and trying to enter little things in that was not true. And so it's so often that is the case. But however honored and respected they may be, they can yet be recognized by those who have been forewarned. Now, the Bible tells us how we can recognize these people. The Lord warned, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruit." Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. And so these people, regardless of how religious they may seem, we can know them by their fruit. What are they doing? Are they really practicing religion? Or are they trying to undermine the truth that's taught and trying to disrupt and trying to, to maybe cause problems within a congregation that is faithful to God and serving Him in the right way. The preachers of Satan preach his doctrine, as we've said before. They're not preaching the doctrine of Christ, but the doctrine of God. The attitude that shall characterize the Christian toward false teachers may be learned in nothing more than the attitude that Christ had toward Satan. When Christ said, "Get thee hence, Satan," or "Get behind me, Satan," is in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 10. And Jesus said unto him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." So that's the attitude that we're to have toward Satan. Get out of here, Satan. We don't want you. You don't belong here. You're not welcome here. All false teachers are Satan's ministers and should be shunned by all who love the truth. Now, that's the bottom line of the whole thing, that all false teachers need to be shunned. They're Satan's ministers, and we don't need to think that they're our friends, because we said a while ago that Satan and God are not friends. They're enemies, and it should be enemies of ours also. Whenever we see these false teachers, then we don't need to welcome them in, but let them know that they're not welcome among those of the saints who are trying to serve God in the right way. However, at the same time, we're to love the souls of those who are false teachers, and if there's some way that we can teach them the gospel and convert them to Christ, then that ought to be our aim and our desire. But there are ministers today. There are those who standing in the pulpit, have stood in the pulpit this morning, and claim to be ministers of righteousness, who are teaching false doctrine that will lead people down the broad road to destruction. And most of these people don't even realize it. They think they're doing something great. They think they're really serving God in the right way. Look at Saul. How he thought he was serving God when he was persecuting the church, putting people in hell, all that kind of thing. And so we need to study our Bible and make sure that we're following God. We're following God's ministry and not the ministry of Satan. Blessed is yours today. You need to obey the gospel. Don't wait. Do it now. All this has to happen. Come on, James.